You're tuned into Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
You are listening to DCPL's Into the Library Verse on Full Service Radio, broadcasting from the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C. My name is Will, and I'm joined by my co-host, Portia.
Hey, everyone, it's Portia. You're now entering the Library Verse. Today, you'll be meeting two new characters of the D.C. Public Library System. We'll explore the lives and positions of the library staff members that you encounter every day. Today, we have two guests, Amy, a chosen librarian, and B, a library associate. Go ahead and say hi, guys.
Hello. Hi.
So introduce yourself so everybody knows who the hi was.
Hi, I'm Amy. I'm a children's librarian.
And I'm character B. I am a library associate.
Yes.
I like that, character B. Character that was creative.
B, I like it, yeah. Okay. So, first things first, we're going to play a game.
Yeah, are you all ready to play a game?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am not ready, but...
So we have some questions to see how DC you guys are.
Mm-hmm. I'm not DC.
Is that where you wanted to start, Portia?
Yes.
Be how not DC we are.
Well, I mean, we'll find out. I mean, you can honestly change the name of this, but the questions will remain the same, and we'll see how not DC you are.
Right, and then we'll pick at it, like, why don't you know this? I'm joking. you want to do the first question? You want me to?
Yeah, so... So, full disclosure, I didn't know about this. Where is the big chair located?
Should we focus on a neighborhood, or do you want zip code? How does this work?
Either is acceptable.
In D.C.
In D.C.
In D.C.
I want to say Anacostia, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Oh, I think you're right. I think it is Anacostia.
Yep, it is Anacostia.
Oh, yes. Bing, bing, bing.
Okay, but you guys all knew about this in advance.
Well, I only knew about it through... other people talking about it.
Interesting. Oh, yeah. I had never heard about it until 2 weeks ago when Portia told me about it. So,
I thought you were going to say you were like driving past and you
no.
I was like, you've never seen this huge chair in Anacostia? He was like, no. And I was like, Will, we got to talk about this.
Yeah?
So shout out to Anacostia for having that huge chair. It's great. So second question, which I thought was kind of hard, but I thought was super interesting.
Oh, this one is so hard.
Yeah, this is so hard. How many metro stops are there located in D.C.?
So, specifically inside of D.C. city limits.
And we are...
And all the lines.
All the lines.
Yeah. I have an idea.
I would just, like, randomly guess a number.
You go first.
Okay, I'll go first. 65.
48.
Okay, so you're closest.
Right.
The number is 40.
Oh,
now that in this whole system though, there's 91.
There you go.
So that's a lot of stops.
Yeah,
right, it's amazing.
I have a metro song I sing.
Oh, what is your metro song?
It's to the tune of Bingo.
Okay.
But it's metro, so it's like. There was a train track in D.C. and Metro was its name. M-E-T-R-O. M-E-T-R-O, and Metro was its name.
So is this a song that you do during some of your story times?
I do. Yeah, I use it at story time all the time.
Oh, that is so cute.
Well, I want to
petition Metro to like take over a car and do like a story time. That's like kind of
that's
my weird
idea. What a cool idea.
Yeah, that's a really cool idea.
So if you're listening, Metro, I'm interested.
Yeah, but you know, I do think that's a fun sort of thing to note. I think a lot of people assume that a story time is just where the librarian sits down and reads books, but sounds like that's not all that happens.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, we do want to read, but a lot of young children, like, it's hard to... A toddler has, like, a 12-minute attention span, less than that. So a half-an-hour story time is a little difficult. So you want to sing, like, that builds a phonological awareness, the sounds of the words. And you want to have them be able to talk. And the singing also is, like, the parts of speech and the rhythm. So it's really important to build all that during story time.
Oh, cool.
Awesome.
Chosen librarians, this is why we need you guys.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to this next question, and this is in honor of March.
Okay.
How many libraries...
Women's History Month.
Yes, there we go.
Oh, I thought March Madness, but...
Oh! So, how many libraries in the D.C. public library system are named after women?
Oof.
Or can you think of some of those?
Dorothy
Height. Yeah. There's the is it Juanita something is Shepherd Park?
You're getting so close. You got the first name.
Oh, that's the Wathathachi Daniels. Yeah.
And so that one, I checked. That's actually...
my genders are going to be...
Yeah. <Daniels, correct? laughs> So what we found was Juanita Thornton and Dorothy Hides.
Mm-hmm. Are the two. Mm-hmm.
Are the two.
The only two.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. That's what we found out,
So it's time to...
Are we missing anything?
Let's see. Should we start from the north? We have Shepherd.
Bellevue is like a man.
Oh, this William, This one, Lockridge. Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of them don't have, like, Tenley. It's like Tenley Friendship.
Yeah,
like
neighborhoods.
Chevy Chase. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of it's just the neighborhoods.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, it's interesting how a lot of our libraries kind of go by two names. You mentioned Shepherd Park Library, which also goes by Juanita Thornton, an amazing activist in D.C. history. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about Dorothy Hides.
Does she's super cool.
She has her post.
A women's rights, a women and civil rights activist. She was like right up there when like MLK was in 1968. I did the MECA fellowship last year, so I feel like I learned all this stuff. But she was like right up there in the picture, and I always remember her. She would like from this experience, she would wear really cool, colorful hats and stuff, and like dress up so that people didn't take her seriously because they thought she was a woman, like just any woman there, and so they would like not take her seriously. And then she also learned that when they would take pictures of all these momentous occasions, they would put her on the end so they could cut her out later on. So she started putting herself like in the middle of the photo and stuff. Like, she was such a smart lady.
Right. That's the best way to do it. Like, center of attention.
Yeah, like, use, like, what you... It's, like, it's such a good strategy. Like, she used what they expected of her to, like, derail the system.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if I may add, in addition to her great activism, she was a mentor. Mentor to hundreds, I cannot speak to thousands, but hundreds of women, both African-American and white, and she... left a mark in civil rights history. Absolutely.
That's awesome.
And I think there's like a display about her and her work for at her library or at her Dorothy I. Hay and / Benning library. Let's check it out.
There we go.
So
next question, which I think is the easiest question, I'm gonna add something to it.
Oh. Okay.
How many stars are there on the DC flag and what color are they?
Three red.
There we go.
Yeah, super easy. well, we did a little bit of reading outside of this, and what was interesting was it sounds like the DC flag was inspired by like George Washington's coat of arms or something.
Hmm.
It's not an exact replica, but it was inspired by that.
What's that?
Yeah, I mean that. Like so I mean, obviously. It seems kind of strange, right?
So our last,
it looks nice.
Do you think that's... Nice. I've always had a question about DC. I could just Google this, but I've just carried it with me instead.
Okay.
is that why taxis are red in DC and not yellow?
You know, that's a good...
That's a good question. We might have to find the answer to that and make that one of our questions in a future episode.
Yeah, that's...
There you go.
I assumed it was, like, because, like, red was, like, a symbolic color here, but I've always been... Since I moved to D.C., I've been carrying that question in my head, waiting for an answer.
Who works for the taxi? Yeah. We need to find this out. Yeah. No. Go ahead and email DC
Library.org. Behind the color.
Well, speaking of taxis and vehicles, now this one I think is also pretty easy. Mm-hmm. What does the license plate say on DC vehicles?
My favorite. Taxation without representation. So salty, and I love it.
Yeah. We had talked about this question before, and I was like, Will, do you think we should, you know, ask this question?
Yeah, because it is interesting, because it's kind of got some political undertones to it, right? But it is also an official slogan.
And it's so salty. It's just like, we're paying you, and we have no say in it.
Right. So I actually think that's like the better DC game that we've had so far.
Yeah.
There's a lot of knowledge going around.
They knew a lot of these answers. I'm impressed.
Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10.
So 10 being the best?
Yeah. How impressed are you?
8? That's pretty high, okay, right?
Yeah. So you guys have.
I'm not from there, so I feel like that's.
Yeah, that's good. Like, as you know, people who are kind of moved here, like you guys did really, really well, and I would say you guys are now champions of.
Yeah, I agree. They're winners.
Yeah, they're winners.
We're winners. I'll take it.
Yes. Okay, so we're gonna, you know, move forward a little bit and past this game, and we're going to talk about March being Women's History Month. So what are you guys doing in order, either at your branch or your personal life, how are you celebrating Women's History Month?
I'm trying to tweet and retweet a lot of, like, really cool women's history facts that are on there on Twitter.
Cool. Yeah.
So I can, like, learn a little something and share it out to my followers. And at my branch, we have a display, mm-hmm. you know, I like a quote from Elizabeth Warren, nevertheless, she persisted. Mm. That's kind of like my brand for Women's History Month.
Okay, so you're persistent.
Yeah.
And keep persisting. And I think that's the motto for me. I will keep persisting, not only during the march, but all 365 days in a year. Regarding our branch, we have several displays in a vestibule dedicated to women's authors, women throughout the history, women chefs, women novelists. Last but not the least, I believe that this year, National Women's Month theme is dedicated to strong women who changed the world through nonviolence and action. Mm. So speaking about Dorothy Hides, that's definitely one of the
things. Yeah, that's awesome.
Of the humans who should be right there and people should know about. So go sisters.
Right. So I know for myself, I'm definitely celebrating myself as a person, celebrating other people, and definitely looking at everyone like we are in this all together as one world. And whatever gender you identify as, you can still relate and be an ally towards women. What about you, Will? What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, something that I think that I always continue to try to work on is listening. I think as, you know, a male-bodied and identifying person, you know, we're kind of raised to take up space. Mm-hmm. And that can be kind of a hard thing to undo. So always just trying to you know, make space for women. I think that's an important thing that I can be doing as a man.
Yeah,
And listening.
Yeah, I think that's, as working with children, try to think about how you compliment children is a good thing. Like, girls are often complimented for being cute and pretty, and boys are complimented for being smart and, like, daring. So, like, those are small, like, changes. It's actually, a lot of research has been done that you should be praising children for trying something and trying to progress a little bit, and not just, like, you're smart. And then when they, like, have a tough thing and they can't solve it, they think that it's the outward problem. Off. Yeah, no, because they're like, I'm smart, I should be able to get this. Mm-hmm. So, like, I try to, when I'm complimenting children in the library, when I'm talking to children in the library, I try to remember, like, oh, look at you, you're trying really hard, like, good effort, or, like, you know, trying to, like, help everyone be able to realize that people are equal, more equal. Mm-hmm. And also, like, I mean, I try to really recommend, gender is such a funny issue in the library, because people get insistent that boys won't read stories about girls.
Mm.
It's a big thing, so I try to just, like, be really open about when I'm describing a story, to be like, this is an adventure tale, this is about, like, the fantasy, this is a high fantasy book with, like, talking, blah blah blah, and, like, mention the character's gender at, like, the very end to kind of build interest before identifying that it's a story about a girl or a boy.
Oh, I love that. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah, it's also interesting. So I do this, like, March Madness picture book character bracket every year. And I've learned over the years that for the weeks that it's female characters, so the times it's female, people don't vote as much.
Mm. Oh,
and that's, like, I would like to study that, but I don't know who would fund it. But I'd like to, like, write it.
Well, you just start, and we will find.
Okay,
we'll find a fund.
Okay, good.
But I wanted to ask you, Portia, since I know that you work in a tech lab, and one of the things that I noticed first time I visited our Fab Lab container over in Noma, which is not there anymore, or soon will not be, all women.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That was
technology, women. I mean, that was so powerful for me. That's true. And encouraging. So
I think so too. I definitely, we have a lot of women in the labs. And I think it's interesting how, even in the studio lab, because the studio lab is also combined with the labs of DCPL. And I agree. I feel like it's inspirational for other people to come in and see that there's women in this space and women in technology, and they kind of have made a career path in this.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we were like one of the first, or the first, to actually have a makerspace at MLK. And even then, we had a woman manager who was Marianne, and we also had a lot of Freiberg, who unfortunately is not with us still, has moved on to really, really great things.
Yeah, for a second it sounded like you said she passed away.
It sounded bad. But she was great, and I definitely took a lot of inspiration from other women that worked in labs, like Mel. Like, there was a lot of other women that I kind of looked up to in the labs. And it was just a really great experience. But also, the library is a woman-led profession.
It really is.
Yeah, so I think it was kind of like a natural thing to kind of have like a woman-led makerspace. And I do agree. And I would definitely say, like, I had someone come up to me and was like, you know what? I like that I can relate to you. And just seeing someone like you and having my child see someone like you doing this is inspirational for them.
And doing this is like a cool thing, 3D printing or something like that, right?
Because that's all I do. I'm my princess here. Oh, thank you, B. That's really sweet. I'm sorry. I just want to say thank you. Okay.
What about electronic resources? Do you guys have favorite electronic resources? Or like things that you like to direct, find yourself directing.
There you go.
Go for it.
He has nothing to say.
I have several.
Oh.
May I name more than one?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Okay. Tell us what you're passionate about.
Oh, what am I not passionate about? So the first one, definitely, I always recommend to anyone who wants to expand their technical knowledge is lynda.com. The opportunity to have access to free online tutorials on subjects ranging from web design to 3D printing and back is mind-blowing. Something that otherwise people pay $300 a year, there it is at the top of your fingers.
So, and they get it for free with their library card.
With their library card, exactly. Second one I really love is Libby. Libby is, it's Overdrive/Libby, right?
Yes.
But it's an app, it's a mobile app, but it's so intuitive, so much, if I may say, for me, more user-friendly than Overdrive ever had been. Super, super easy to use, lets you, and I'm now trying to get my Libby interface up. Super easy to navigate, super easy to purchase books, put them on hold, listen to them, audiobooks, or read them, like ebooks. It's great recommendation for many. Like, people can just plug in while driving, and there you go. You have your CD book while taking your trip across the United States of America, whichever.
I'm biased. Well, I like the Overdrive. Yeah, I like my bookshelf. Thank you.
I don't know. She gave a really passionate speech about that. I'm excited to go try it.
You have to.
I need to.
Absolutely. Now.
Yeah, and same with the people at home, right? I mean, listen to us in the background while you try it.
Well, I'm hoping that they will Libby by Overdrive. Whichever you use is just something, Libby by Overdrive. That's the name of the app. And my third favorite, and this totally, let me just say it. It's our collection of legal forms, Gale legal forms, which I found super useful when many of our patrons come looking for example, contracts.
Mm.
Forms. So instead of them paying to, online, I don't know, anywhere between $5 and $15, depending, I can assist them. They can download different legal forms that are DC specific. It's just such a great resource for patrons.
That's awesome.
Oh, we have such different answers. I was chuckling because I feel like I'm never really using the full, just like our users, I'm never fully using the full venture of my card. But I love Overdrive. Like Portia said, like it's my, I mean, I like constantly am reading. I like it. I'm sure Libby does this too, but I like linking all my library cards. Mm-hmm. I'm a multiple library card user.
Totally possible on Libby by Overdrive.
But I just, it's just, I don't know. I guess I just like the familiarity of it. Mm-hmm. And it's easy for me. I find it like it's easy, but I think it is like, I think we always have to try to think of how our patrons interact with it. So I think it's easy for me, but probably Libby might be more user-friendly for patrons. I also love telling people about Novelist because a lot of children and their parents struggle to find like their next good book or any book that they might want to read. And the Novelist database is great for that because I like it because you can type in like any book you read and then you can like delineate like what you liked about it. Like maybe you liked that it was an emotional story or you liked that it was a coming of age story or you liked that they had talking animals and you can like put in what you liked and then they'll like cultivate a list for you of all these books that are like read-alikes for it. That's like great because I think a lot of parents are really like they feel the pressures on them to find a good book. Yep. And not everybody like wants to ask someone at a desk, so I like that they can do it at home too, and then put those mm-hmm. books on hold right away, and you know have them available when they come into the library. And then also Mango is I love Mango.
I was gonna bring that up too. I was like, I love Mango languages. I try to learn stuff, but you know.
Yeah, I don't usually dedicate myself to follow through with it, but like every like 6 months I'm like I should be like doing a little bit of Spanish, Amy. Like,
I was like my attention span is not there, but I'm like I'm gonna learn it one day.
But it's cool and like it's such a funny like fun like interactive platform and like the little PIM for kids like when mm-hmm. parents come in looking for books on learning languages for younger children. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I could give you a book on it, but like you probably want to hear how it sounds and they want to hear how you're doing to actually mm-hmm. fully learn the language. Mm-hmm. So I love recommending that to them. And they're always like, that it's free. And one more, Canopy has become a recent, love of mine. Because especially for, I like telling parents about that because they're like, their heads are just like they're so surprised that they get like 6 movies a month mm-hmm. and can watch, you know, seem like they would stream. Like everybody's so, not everyone, but a lot of people are familiar with streaming nowadays. So like being able to, if you use like any other platform, you can probably figure out Canopy.
In addition to that, if a patron has Prince George's library card, they can connect the two and Prince George's library gives 10 movies a month.
So they could potentially double dip 16, and get 16. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then for all of these resources, just for folks at home, you know, all you need is your library card. Some of these might make you make an account with the service. Mm-hmm. And then it may ask you for a PIN number for your library card. Yes. In general, that's going to be the last 4 digits of your library card number. Now, if that's not the case, come in and we can figure out what your PIN is and get you started.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and also you can also call with your library card number.
Yep.
But make sure you have your library card number before you call and provide you the same information. But like Will said, it's usually the last 4.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this. I changed my PIN one time to like my birthday.
You did?
I did. And then I sat there and I could not log in. And I was like, what is going on? And I've been like waiting for this Michelle Obama book like forever. And it's like I couldn't log in to read it. And I was so mad. And then like when I finally like took my time to realize what was going on, I was like, let me just let someone else have it and read it. So yeah, like I really do like the fact that we offer all these things to our patrons, which is really cool. And I like the fact that we have been so library focused in this conversation. But we need to know who these characters are. Well,
yeah, yeah, definitely.
Job check.
Right, you did your job. There we go.
They know a little bit about the library.
Yeah. Can I?
You can. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, you may.
So. I'm interested in fun facts about you guys. I sure that you have some interesting facts.
No, not the one.
Oh, I don't believe that for a second. I heard through Portia that you put some interesting story about bees. I don't know if you don't have to share that. It piqued my interest. I don't know.
Honey and bees in general are very important for me and my family. My father has been a beekeeper for more than 3 decades now, and having honey, having honey in the house has always been a sign of everything is going well, because we have this a folk tale that bees will not go just with anyone. They really require the constant care. So in that sense, as long as I have honey, I know that my father is strong enough. I know that he has time and energy to devote, and I know things are well, right? For me, honey means my family is okay. Mm-hmm. My family, who is across the ocean and that I barely ever see. Unless we are talking Viber or Skype or something like that. So 2 years ago, my father was diagnosed with a life-threatening disease. He had to have surgery, so I went to help him and my family through recovery process. And part of the helping was tending the bees and harvesting the honey. Now, bees are super smart. A thing that I did not know, apparently they can smell. And they know how my father smells, but they didn't know how I smell, which made them very suspicious. And they were like, hey, you intruder, back off. And that back off translated in more than 50 bee stings.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm not allergic, so never was. So I was not alerted until the next day when my legs were just covered in hives. And long story short, it took 6 months call it a poison, to just leave my body. That's how long it took my metabolism to release. I had rashes for 6 months. But my father is well. That's the point. I know he still has honey.
You're better.
You're okay.
And apparently, another folktale, if I survived 50...
That's 50 amazing.
Sting, then I can survive a lot. So
yes. Wow.
I don't know if you're a writer, but I feel like this would make a really cool graphic novel memoir about like the bees.
There you go. Let's do it.
All right.
Totally. I definitely feel like I had like a not as severe as a story, but when I was little, there was like this wasp like nest thing outside my window.
Yeah,
and like one of them got in one time, and it was just like living in my room.
Oh.
And like every time I come in my room, it'd be like a random wasp in there. I'd be like, what is this? So yeah, that was horrible.
I'm sorry, I'm not a fan of bees. I think I am allergic, so like I've heard about bees. I don't know if this is like an urban legend, but like the more, if you're allergic, like the more you get stung, the more susceptible you are to it. So I'm always like deathly afraid of buzz sound, and I have been stung by the same wasp twice. And like got into my car, and I was driving, so I didn't really have many options.
Right.
And that was one of the most painful, at least insect stings I've had.
I'm because so sorry.
It felt like someone had like dipped a knife into acid and then like got me with that. I had to go to the hospital. It like swelled up everything.
There you go. I'm so sorry.
I'm glad you're okay too, because I know that pain. You know, I feel like the wasp was like teasing me, and I feel like every time I got one, it was another one.
I would have moved.
I know.
Though, just to be fair to bees, wasps and bees are different.
Mm-hmm. That's
right. Different. Sure. Yeah. I was gonna say I like bees mainly because of Beyonce, but I just like bees. So that's my reason why I was like, that's my reasoning. But yeah.
Well, next time I go, I'll bring some honey and I'll share the love.
I like honey. Yeah. I'll tolerate a bee because of the honey.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for bees because they're dying.
Yeah.
Goodness. Save our environment, you guys.
So thank you for asking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. My phone keeps turning off, and I'm trying to turn it on, and Cersei doesn't like me.
So is there anything else that you guys wanted to share? Or?
Well, it's your turn.
It's hard to be interesting on the spot.
No, you've been interesting up till now.
Let's talk about the pressure of being interesting on the spot.
I lived in Hawaii for a bit. I feel like that's kind of interesting.
Are you from Hawaii?
No, I'm not. But I went to grad school in Hawaii because I figured if I was going to take out some debt, I want it to go somewhere like that I would never live, you know?
That seems reasonable.
I don't know. It was kind of like reasonable and unreasonable at the same time. But
which part was unreasonable first?
Probably the part about the debt. I was like, I just wanted to like have like a... I was like an eat, pray, love moment with myself, I guess. I don't know if it was before or after the book, but just like wanted to move somewhere new and try something else. And Hawaii is great. It's the commonality it has with DC is that it's also very transient. So people like come and go a lot. Right. And unless you're born in Hawaii, most people are just like coming for school or for escaping their lives and then find it. It's beautiful. It's just, it's hard to live there because it's expensive. Mm-hmm. Everything that you would buy has to be brought over in a boat or a plane. So that adds a couple of dollars to everything. Like,
so I guess school may have gotten more expensive that way too.
I went to University of Hawaii and like it was like pricey, but like, you know, for any graduate program, it was probably on par with it. And it's nice ducking outside for like a phone call and you're just like this Hawaiian sunset. And like, you know, like I could walk to the beach in 20 minutes. So like it was a good time.
That is nice.
So should we say mahalo?
Yeah, mahalo. And I guess I know a little Hawaiian, like... the ohana, if you watch Lilo and Stitch, you know that. It's your family. But they're really big on, like, community. So, like, they'd have, like, your library community was, like, a community. Your, like, community of students. Like, they're really community building. And they loved, they're, like, really about getting to know people. So they call it talk story. Mm-hmm. So if you're at the grocery store, you'd be like, and I'm so chatty, so this was perfect for me, but like you would just be like, someone would be like, oh, I see you're getting this, like, is it good, what are you gonna have it with? And like you'd sit there and have like a 10-minute conversation with someone at the grocery store. And much different than other parts of the U.S.
Well, I'm glad you highlight the fact that D.C. is such a transient place, because I kind of want to know, like, what made you move to D.C.?
Well, after Hawaii, I lived in California for 2.5 years working in a special district library, which was cool. I drove a bookmobile. I guess that could have been my interesting thing about me.
Oh, that's totally
cool. Oh, wow.
Tell us.
I drove it was a Sprinter van. It was called the Ready to Read van. And inside had like bookshelves, and I would take that to daycares and child care places. So like I went into people's houses a lot, which it sounds like a weird thing, but
so my face was like,
it would just be so strange because like you just like knock on this person's door, and we would come to anyone that had like children that they would take care of, as long as there were at least three children that were not their own, and they would just come into their house and kind of like, you know, do a little story time, and then they could check out books. And we would do these like play and learn kits that they could check out on different themes, and like have like elements like puzzles and like different like Play-Doh in it, and like different activities. And I think it was really nice because it was a rural area, and taking care of children is a really lonely experience a lot of the times. Right. We were an old Carnegie library that was really small, and we had a lot of programming, but we didn't really have a lot of space for people to be. So like we'd go out into the community a lot and try to cloister them around there. But it was just, and I was like, you really got to know people because you'd come there like twice a month in their house, like with them and like with the children they took care of. And it was a much different experience than working in an urban library like DC, but really, you know, interesting. And then after that, I want to do lots of things in libraries and wanted more experience working. Like I never had processed a hold before coming to DC because we had all self checkouts, and we didn't have any circ staff. We had what, information concierge. That's what we called them.
Oh, that's, I like that. That's a nice title.
Sounds really fancy.
It sounds fancy, but it was just like somebody like standing at the front, like helping you your checkout and like pointing you to books and like holds.
I'm sorry. It
was like a greeter. Yeah.
And, I feel like those people have the best jobs. So like, just say hi to someone and point. Yeah, like, I feel like that is the best experience.
Like, you're rarely going to get like irritations. Just like, it's over there. And like, I'm moving on to the next hello.
Also,
but. Well, it's what
I would say. Amy lied to us. She's very interesting.
She is very interesting.
Yeah. it was a really cool job. It just, some of the hard things about that though is the having you know, there wasn't an HR, like it was a one thing library, so like having issues with staff in particular, it was hard to solve those problems. But also I just want to experience working in a real city system, and I am from New Jersey originally, so this is like coming home, but you know, with some distance.
So what about you, B?
Ooh, 2004 I came to the United States to work as a lifeguard. It was a summer work and travel program, and the company, the pool company where I worked, was in Rockville. So my post for that summer was in Rockville, Maryland. I decided to stay in the United States, so proximity to DC, finding a job as an immigrant. I only had so many options, and most of my options were service industry, aka restaurants. So I started working in one of the DC restaurants in Cleveland Park area in 2005, or actually 2004, just when I stayed, September. So fast forward, I went to school, Montgomery College, and then American University, and then here in DC, and libraries. For as long as I remember, doesn't matter, a lifeguard, a service, a server, bartender, and or communications expert, libraries were always a special place for me. Place where I would go to get, I remember those map quests printed, place where I would go to print my homework because I did not have money to buy a computer, nor I had money to pay to have Wi-Fi or internet. It wasn't Wi-Fi then yet. We just had internet, AI, remember AOL, all these things. Libraries were a safe place where I could be who I am.
That's amazing.
So why DC Public Library? My question is, why not?
There we go.
Wow, that was inspirational.
Well, like I said, like, these, you guys are very interesting.
Yeah, both of you have been very interesting.
It's almost like we met in the bar.
Yeah, there you go.
Where now we're at the 10.
We're at the 10. Like, winners right here.
Yeah,
champions,
total winners, champions.
I will definitely say that I'm going to talk about Will. Will's not from D.C. either.
No.
So what about you, sir? I don't think we've ever discussed.
Oh, I think we've mentioned it. I'm from Texas. I'm from a city called Abilene, which some people have heard of, but most people haven't. I came here. I was long-term unemployed. And eventually, you know, I couldn't find any work anywhere. So I said, you know, I'm just going to go to grad school and see what happens. I had $3,000 to my name and moved here to go to American University, knowing that if I didn't find a job. Yeah, exactly. We can talk about this later. If I didn't find a job, I would have to drop out and that would be the end of it. But lo and behold, DCPL saved me. So
good. And the process, you saved DCPL. Oh. I am as you are. So
the two of you have great sound bites for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a DC native. I grew up in DC. As far as everything else, my mom is actually a children's librarian for DCPL. And when I was growing up, I was like, ew, what is that? I don't want to be a librarian. And now just kind of when I graduated from college, and my first position was as a technician at Petworth, and I love that experience. And also once I officially kind of graduated, because I graduated but not graduated, which is actually a thing, you guys, it happens. I applied for the LA position and got that, and eventually kind of got weirdly transferred to the labs. And yeah, weirdly, it happened weirdly. but it kind of was like a process of kind of finding out who you are. And now I'm in library school, and I'm just like, I like libraries. Like, this wasn't a thing I thought I would be interested in as an adult. And I definitely took advantage of a lot of the resources as a child. I'm just going to programs and just meeting new people and kind of using it as a safe space, mm-hmm. as you had said earlier. And then I just want to hit on something that you said as well. When I was younger, I've always been pretty independent. Since the age of 16, I've always had a job, always did something. I used to work at Claire's, and I did a lot of like random like retail work as well. I worked security. I was a correctional officer for a little bit. So I definitely have had that different experience, yeah. in different places. And I would definitely say the library is a special place.
Yeah.
I second that.
Well, I think that's about our time. We definitely appreciate you guys coming on with us, and we appreciate you sharing your stories and all the hard work that you do with patrons every day. I know it's not, you know, it's not always like a celebrated job, but we notice, and so do a lot of our listeners notice the hard work that you guys put in. Portia, do you want to close us out?
Yes, I'm gonna lead us out. So this has been the episode. Into the Libraryverse on Full Service Radio, broadcasted live from the Lyon Hotel in Asmorgan, Washington, D.C. Please visit dclibrary.org to learn more about the library programs and services. And then follow us on Instagram at DC Pub Library and on Twitter at DCPL. Listen and download this show wherever you listen to your podcast by searching for Full Service Radio. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for sharing this.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.